Pritu Maharaj is meeting with the Kumaras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Adhana Api Te Dhanya Sadhavo Graha Medina Yad Griha Hi Ara Varyambu Trina Kumishvara Varaha Adana Piti Danya Sadhavo Griha Medina Yat Bihai Arvaryambo Trina Bhumishvara Vare Odana Piti Danya Sadhavo Griha Medina Yat Bihai Atravarambo Trina Bhumishvari Ishvara Vara Adana Pite Danya Sadhavo Griha Medina Yat Grihai Arhavarambo Trina Bhumishvara Vara Medina, persons who are attached to family life. Yat Griha, whose house? He, certainly. Aravarya, the most worshipable. Ambu, water, jina, grass, bhumi, land, Ishvara, the master, Abhara, the servants. Translation in purple, by His Divine Grace, the Bodhisattva in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. The person who is not very rich and who is attached to family life becomes highly glorified when saintly persons are present in his home. The master of the sense, the master of the servants, who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors water, a sitting place and paraphernalia for reception, are glorified. And the home itself is also glorified. Please repeat. The person who is not very rich and is attached to family life becomes highly glorified when saintly persons are present in his home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors, water, the sitting place, and paraphernalia for reception are glorified. And the home itself is also glorified. Purport. Materially, if a man is not very rich, he is not glorious. And spiritually, if a man is too attached to family life, he is also not glorious. But saintly persons are quite ready to visit the house of a poor man or a man who is attached to family, material family life. When this happens, the owner of the house and his servants are glorified because they offer water for washing the feet of the saintly person, sitting places, and other things to receive him. The conclusion is that if a saintly person goes to a house of even an unimportant man, such a person becomes glorious by his blessings. It is therefore the Vedic system that a householder invite a saintly person to his home to receive his blessings. This system is still current in India, and therefore saintly persons, wherever they go, are hosted by their householders, who in turn get an opportunity to receive transcendental knowledge. It is the duty of sannyasis, therefore, to travel everywhere just to favor the householders who are generally ignorant of the values of spiritual life. It may be argued that all householders are not very rich, and that one cannot receive a great saintly person or preachers because they are always accompanied by their disciples. If a householder is to receive a saintly person, he has to receive his entourage also. It is said in the Shastras that Durvasa Muni was always accompanied by 60,000 disciples, and that if there was a little discrepancy in their reception, he would be very angry, and he would sometimes curse the host. The fact is that every householder, regardless of his position or economic condition, can at least receive saintly guests with great devotion and offer them drinking water. For drinking water is always available. In India, the custom is that even an ordinary person is offered a glass of water if he suddenly visits one, and one cannot offer him foodstuff. If there is no water, then one can offer a sitting place, even if it's a straw mat. And if one has no straw mat, he can immediately cleanse the ground and ask the guest to sit there. Supposing that the householder cannot even do that, then, with folded hands, he should simply receive the guest saying, "Welcome." And if he cannot do that, then he should feel very sorry for his poor condition and shed tears, and simply offer obeisances with his whole family, wife and children. In this way he can satisfy any guest, even if the guest is a saintly person or a king. Om Agyan Thamidandasya Janan Janan Shalakaya Takshuram Nimitam. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garbha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 So we had this experience actually in India when you're moving around. Of course, the devotees with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are always going on different programs. That's our business, to help to spread the holy name in every town and village of the world. This is the purpose of this society. So we're always moving around, we're always meeting people, so we get first-hand this experience as how we receive very nicely. And water is offered for washing the feet. And so therefore the sannyasis and brahmanas, preachers, Vaishnavas, they should always remain very pure, because when they go to houses they have to take some of that karma when they're going to wash your feet and going to sprinkle on their head. So it carries karma, all these things. You can read their foodstuffs. So that is why a Brahman is always suci, a Vaishnava is always clean, because he can easily absorb this karma from the guests who are honoring him, because his constant engagement in devotional service is very powerful, and so it burns up his bad karma and his good karmas. So a devotee always keeps himself in a transcendental position by glorifying the Lord and performing devotional service to the Lord. So then everything is transcendental, it becomes spiritualized, it becomes like Dham, just like in Navadvip Dham. We also perform some samskaras, materialist samskaras, and Shraddha ceremonies and things like that, putting ashes in the Ganga, or whatever it is, different samskaras. We're obliged to perform. But here in Navadvipa also it's even more special, because Navadvipa Dham is so kind that if you receive impious reactions for some activities, then Navadvipa Dham absorbs all those impious activities. And the more glorious thing, if you perform pious activities, which we're doing, is samskaras are actually pious activities, then you get good karma. So Navadvipa also destroys your good karma. Navadvipa is very merciful. So all your good karma is destroyed also. So then you can render pure devotional service to the Lord. But anyway, the preacher has to be, the Vaishnavas have to be careful also. You can accept food on some occasion. Prabhupada would say two things. Sometimes he said you shouldn't even accept water from someone's house. Another time to take fruits. Anyway, but we saw it many times in Prabhupada's own life, especially in Calcutta. He would, in India in general, but I remember in Calcutta, he would go to different guests' house and relatives also. And Prabhupada would sit down and they would serve a full meal, rice and grains and everything like that. But Prabhupada would receive everything. So he could absorb everything. Anyway, the idea is that one should stay very suci, become suci, remain clean, then the contaminations of this material world, goodness and ignorance, can easily be absorbed by the potency of devotional service. So that is why Brahman is called suci, because he has always doing these purity-free acts and taking karma off the different persons who are calling him. So we go to houses and they give you a nice seat. Depending on their facility, they'll try to wash your feet. And then they'll offer some kind of something to eat at least. But even in poor houses, they can't do that. I've also seen, I remember one time, where were we? In Bangkok, outside Birampur. Maharaj Birampur, who stole all the books of Srinivasa's right. That place there, where Srinivasa was staying and preaching, the whole kingdom became Vaishnavas. Still very nice Vaishnavas there now. The place is famous for its terracotta, so we were there looking at the terracotta the ideas for the temple. And we were staying in one man's house, and it wasn't extremely poor. It was an ordinary house, but it was very nice the way they received us and looked after us. And generally, they give you their own bedrooms, and because they've only got one or two rooms, and all the family will move off into a little side room somewhere. They'll give you the best room in the house, and they'll give you. And then generally, they put a clean cloth on the floor. If they haven't got a new one, at least it will be a clean cloth. Some. And if they haven't got that, they'll get their broom out and they'll sweep the dust in the village. They'll sweep out the air and ask you to sit down. Yeah, and I remember that time, remember when we were leaving, then the family stood there and they were actually crying because, you know, they were looking at us as Vaishnavas somehow or another, and they were looking. But it was such a, I thought it was such a good culture, they were actually crying. We tried to do our best to serve our guests, and now they're leaving. And we'd only been there, you know, like overnight, one or two days. But anyway, the culture is very nice. We see also in the in Krishna book, and Krishna went to see. He went to Mithila. To see, he had two great devotees there. The king of Mithila was his devotee, Bahulashma, and Shrutadeva was a Brahman there, was also Krishna's great devotee. So he went there to favor them. And he was there, Krishna had an entourage with him of great sages, Chaitanya Muni, and I see so many of the universal sages were with Krishna at that time. So he went to the city, and immediately the king and the Brahman come out and offer their obeisance, and both simultaneously said, please come to our house, please come to my palace. So Krishna agreed, and so they all manifested themselves into identical group. As Krishna manifested, and all the sages also manifested themselves into duplicates. So there are two sets, and so one went to the king's house, and another set went to Shrutadeva's house, the Brahmanas. And then they were received according to the situation and the circumstance. Shrutadeva was quite a poor brahmana. He didn't collect money. He was completely satisfied with whatever he got. So he didn't have much paraphernalia or anything like that. But immediately he gave them some kushagrass seat and asan. And whereas the king, he offered them nice, comfortable chairs with big cushions and things like that, padded cushions. Both were offering they're serving with devotion. They were serving Krishna and the guests with devotion. So they were immediately accepted, even though the paraphernalia was kind of, well, some was opulent and some wasn't quite not so opulent. But still, Krishna and the sages received everything the same because it was actually being offered for their pleasure with devotion. And Shrutadeva was so excited, oh, Krishna's come to my house, these great sages have come to my house, they're going to purify my... He was actually dancing, he's jumping and waving his chadar in the air. He was showing he was really excited and enthusiastic. So it's a nice way to be received when you're so enthusiastic to see a person, you get up and dance. So naturally the sages and Krishna are going to be pleased with that person. So they offer the basic things, washing feet and hagira and madhupaka, and drink and... the king was offering, so he could offer offering things, clothing and jewels and things like that, and cows and bulls. But Shrutadeva, he didn't have much opulence, but he offered, some tilak, because everybody uses tilak, useful things, some kushagrass, because sages will always use kushagrass for various activities, finger rings, or doing their homas with. So they were easily available, these simple things. So he was offering, the king was offering nice opulent things. But still they were receiving both on the same level. And We also see when Akrura went to Vrindavan to see Krishna Balaram, then they also welcomed Akrura, Uncle Akrura coming. They welcomed him, come and sit down, and they washed his feet and offered all different types of articles for Krishna, to Akrura, according to their situation. And then they offered foodstuffs to him. And then he took rest. He said, go and take some rest, because you know you've been travelling a long mile. But he felt very comfortable. He was received very nicely, and then he was given foodstuffs to eat and paraphernalia. And then he took rest. Then only after that, then Krishna and Balaram came back later, and then they said, you know, if you like, you can tell us why you have come. There must be some mission. What is your purpose of your coming? It wasn't although when Akrura came, they opened the door and said, no, what do you want? You know, they went through a whole thing, and then they inquired, you know, what, you come here for some purpose. If you like, you can disclose this. So this is etiquette. You know, the guest was feeling very relaxed and comfortable, and he wasn't sweating after his journey. So this is the culture. So this is the how to receive guests, and you can gain the favor of a saintly person simply by receiving him nicely with whatever materials you have. Now we have the Mayapur Academy going on, but the whole archana, the whole deity worship, the puja itself, that's all. It's a reception, so you're learning how to receive Krishna. Shruti Dev and King Bahulaspa, they knew how to worship Krishna, respect Krishna, so he wasn't insulted. But if you don't know how to worship Krishna and he comes to your door, he may be insulted. That's why Krishna always appears in India, because here they're practicing culture. Vedic culture is packed to some extent. If he went to the West, they wouldn't treat him. They wouldn't treat him properly. But here it's called Atithi Narayan. If a guest comes, you should treat him exactly as you treat Narayan. So Krishna is Narayan. So he's treated like Narayan. Oh, you're a guest coming. So they're performing all the activities of reception for Lord Narayan. So there's no problem for Krishna. But if he goes, appears in the Western countries, they won't know how to receive him properly. So he'll be a dishonored, disgraced. So therefore he doesn't bother to go. But since he's representative sometimes, the Western countries, but generally Krishna always appears in Bharatvarsha where the culture is followed. So he can move around. Just like he goes to Dhritarashtra's house, the palace, you know, all his enemies are there. He goes to his enemy's palace, but still. The etiquette is you must treat the enemy as a respected guest also. So even if he goes to the enemy's houses, they're going to treat him as the Titi Narayan. He's directly Narayan. So therefore, Krishna can move around easily. So we can learn how to receive him. So this is the purpose of the Archana classes, the Mayapur Academy. Especially the archana, how to receive Krishna, how to receive the guest, how to. It's more or less the same process you can use for Krishna or the guru or saintly persons who come. We are actually eternal servants of Krishna, you know that? But you know how to receive Krishna. If he comes, Krishna comes knocking on your door, would you know how to receive him? Krishna is standing. So we're teaching you how, when that opportune moment comes, and you know how to receive him. Swagatam, swagatam. Please come in, I'll offer an asana. This will offer you patriam, agya marsha madhupaka punachman. You'd like to take a bath, it's been a long journey. I've offered some nice clothing. Ornaments, scents, sandalwood pulp, flower garlands, incense, offer a little hearty, offer some food stuff, you may be hungry, and then offer rest. So it's like a little, like a complete reception that if you offer this to the guest, he should be very satisfied with that. So it's a standard method of worship that everybody uses, no matter who they're worshipping Vishnu Tattva, or they're worshipping Shakti Tattva. Everybody uses this system, or the procedure of this, you know, this reception of inviting their particular deity and offering. But more or less it's in the same, it's in the same order. There's some details. So why it's here, because this is a reflection of the spiritual world. It goes on in the spiritual world also. There's a, this is from Krishnadas Kaviraj, and he's telling how in the spiritual world, because everything is personality there, how they're the Vrindavan forests. There's this, in Goloka, they have six seasonal gardens where all the seasons at one time manifest there. Whatever they manifest in there. In springtime, many flowers they manifest there. In the summertime, the lotus manifests, it's beautiful. So all the seasons have manifest their different products. So Radha and Krishna are coming into it, and Vrinda Devi is giving the description of Vrindavan. Look how Vrindavan wants you to welcome you into their home. Because this is now that all the six seasons are simultaneously being happening in Vrindavan. So to see how the forest is welcoming you to its home, into its home, and it's showering shumana pollen, the flower pollen, scented flower pollen, as you went. So it's like deception. Sometimes when the guru comes, he throws flowers, and Radha Madhavgautam Prakram. So it's like that, swagatam, receiving the Lord. And she says, you see how all the beautiful flowers are coming? I dropped down and they've made a beautiful carpet, colored carpet of flowers for you to enter into their forest and walk on. So this is the asan. Asan is the seat of flowers. And then she says, see how the moonstones that are here, they melted due to your presence. And they turned into water, and they're flowing down. And with the shama chal, the codicy rice, the shamaki chal, and the dupa grass and lotus, mixing with the water, and it's coming to wash your feet. So this is called padyam. You know, you offer water for washing feet. So these are the ingredients that go in padyam: the shamaki chal, the dupa grass, the lotus leaves. And Vishnu Krantaha. And you see how the kakola berry is a berry fruit. It's clove, labanga, clove is there, and jayfal. What is jayfal? Nutmegs. The nutmegs and the cloves and the jayfal, it's another scented berry. It comes with the water and it's offering you archmanium. Yeah? So when we offer archmanium, we have to mix these things with the archman. Powdered cloves and jaipal, nutmegs, crush it up and put it in. Then the water gets a nice taste, so you can, when you sip your ashram, it's a refreshing taste. So like this is describing how the honey is trickling from the trees, from the beehives in the trees. They're offering as madhupaka. Krishna takes a drink of madhupaka. Generally, madhu is the main ingredient, but also they mix some other things in it. Madhupaka. So this is practically the order that it comes. It's going on in Vrindavan, but here the trees and the flowers, everything is personally offering their selves to Krishna as a form of surrender and worship of Radha and Krishna as they're entering the forest. And then after that comes the bathing. But she says, you see how the droplets of water are being blown by the breezes from the splashing Jamuna and the waterfalls, and it's giving you like a little shower, a nice cooling shower. So that's your shnanam. then how the all the different flowers and twigs and buds and they're presenting you different flower ornaments. They wear flower shoes, flower belts and sashes and like offering of clothing and ornaments. So this is the order that you will offer. And then how the scent, Ganda, we're offering sandalwood pulp or something like that. So that scent is coming in the form of pollen, carried by the breeze. And Ganda Pushpa, now flower garlands are being offered. Then incense. On the pretext of being a swarm of bees, the bees are coming and they're collecting all the honey, the nectar, the pollen from the scented pollen from the flowers. Then they come in the swarm of bees, carry all this scent and they're flying around. It's like offering incense, all the scent. And then they're offering lamp like the champaka flower. It's like this. It looks like a lamp. It's in a golden color. Ganda Pushpa Dhoop Deep Naividyam, then some food stuff. See how the forest is offering its nice fruits and things like that for your pleasure. So it's offering all these all the varieties of the of that's there, all the these when they're offering the scents also there, it has its own sandalwood, own agaru trees there, the musk here are there. So all these nice scents the forest is offering to Krishna. And of course after the eating you'll offer pan, tambulam, so the pan leaves are there and the betel trees are there, so they combine to offer Radha and Krishna betel nut. They drink the pan with other things inside, cardamom, cloves, etc. And it says, you see how these champaka tree, you know the champaka tree, it's got a golden flower, like that. They grow like that. So they're like the pujaris, they're the priests each side. They grow, the champaka tree, the flowers, they grow on the end of the branch, you see. So the wind is blowing, and all the branches, like that, holding these, it's like offering a bunch of pradipa, some lamps like that. So these, the pujaris are offering you the lamps. And yeah, they're offering you flower flames, and the birds and the bees, they're singing, and like it's a glorification. It's like, at the end of puja, we have darshan here, then we chant chintamani prayers, and we circumambulate the deities, and singing stuti, and glorification is part of pranam, the final activity, pranams. So these are all, the birds are doing that, so they're singing, they're having kirtan, the bees are humming in the fifth note. So the whole an orchestra of kirtan, everything is going on and shruti. So this is the order that we follow here. That's originally it's in Goloka, but it's coming down. We offer praises and things like that, chant mantras, singing, dancing. And then because you also, as an injunction, you should put an umbrella over the deity's head. So this umbrella is made of flower pollen. The wind comes and it picks up all the flower pollen from the flowers. The whirlwind, little whirlwind comes, and it gathers all the scent, and then it hovers over Radha and Krishna's head in the form of an umbrella made of scented pollen, which is dripping honey also from it. So they're setting the umbrella. This is the injunction in the Vedas. You should set up an umbrella. So this is the origin of all these injunctions. And then it's like in darshan time, you get them offering chamra. So the creepers, the banyan trees and other. You know, the roots come down. Fine roots, just like a chamara is moving in the wind and moving. So offering a chamara like that. And the banana trees are, the banana leaves are moving like a fan. To offer Radha and Krishna a fan. And then also the birds are dancing also, it's like we're dancing in the morning. So in this way, this gives the whole description. So Vrindadevi is saying, you see how Vrindavan is worshipping me by performing the festive Ananda Shatra ceremony. And by pleasing this way, Vrindavan forest also pleases all living entities automatically. So there is the origin of puja. It goes on in the spiritual world. We when we get it, it's that kind of official. It's there. They're offering themselves. It's just not a sacrifice. They're sacrificing themselves in service to Radha and Krishna. They're all personalities, that everything is personality. So here it gets kind of official. It goes up to Vaikuntha, it gets a bit more official, comes into the material world, and the demigods get hold of it. So then we get it in the form of a puja, archana padati. And then we om sahasra shirsha purushaha sahasraksha sasrapat sa kuming shato cha dishvata shangulam hirang ashanam kumbhishnaya namaha. It's official, so that what's going on in the spiritual world. Naturally surrendering, then we get it and it comes down in official form. But it's, you know, practically the same order it's described here. It's all in all the puja manuals, but they all got the same order. So it's anyway, here it's mentioned here that at any home which the conclusion is, if a saintly person goes to a house of even an unimportant man, such a person becomes glorious by his blessings. It is therefore the Vedic system that householders invite saintly persons into his home to receive his blessings. So this is the blessing that the Vaishnavas, they can give to ordinary persons who are generally so busy that they forget all about service to Krishna. So the saintly persons come and remind them. So this is their blessing, because they give their instructions, and those instructions they can keep forever. If someone gives you an instruction, you can follow it whole life. So that sound vibration that's coming from the pure devotee's mouth, then they give to the householder. The householder can hear, then he can act on that. For the rest of his life he can simply act on that. Even if it's just one instruction, that would be sufficient. Even if the sadhu says, always remember Krishna, or never forget Krishna. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, man mana, bhava man bhaku, always remember me. So the sadhu may have just said one thing, always remember Krishna. But if you can remember that one thing, that's sufficient to take you back to Godhead. If you can remember the time of leaving your body, that instruction, that's sufficient to take you back to Godhead. This is the importance of the pure devotees. They can give you an instruction which you can keep with you forever. And it said, because we've read a little few chapters ago, it's because a pure devotee is always engaged in service of Krishna, then he always has direct connection with the lotus feet of Krishna. And because Krishna's feet have those dust particles, then the pure devotee is connected to those dust particles. By his glorification of Krishna's lotus feet, those dust particles become like part of his glorification is he contacts the dust particles. And so when he's glorifying, giving instructions, those dust particles also come with the instruction. And therefore a devotee can, they can immediately awaken the person to his constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna. So simply by that sound vibration, because it's carrying the dust particles from Krishna's feet, because he has constant connection with Krishna's feet, by glorifying Krishna's feet all the time. So in this way the saintly person can give a person the dust of Krishna's feet through his words, through his sound vibration. That's why sound vibration is so important, most important. The holy name is the sound vibration. So when we're not absorbed in that sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, then we should be absorbed in another sound vibration. That sound vibration should be the order of Guru. That vibration also carries the dust particles from Krishna's feet. So in the prayers of Lord Shiva, Pujetas, I think Prabhupada mentions that how important this instruction is from the saintly persons. He says that one should find out the ways and means to execute that order above and beyond anything else. Above and beyond anything else. So that becomes our prime duty. And not only, he said, not only he should find out the ways and means to execute that order, but he should also worship. That order becomes actually worshipable, because that order is contacting with the lotus feet of Krishna. It's taken back to Godhead. So, this is what we should be doing actually. We should be absorbed in the hearing the sound vibration of the holy name, or chanting the sound, and hearing the sound vibration, or executing the order of the sound vibration of the Guru, that, or the our spiritual guide that has given us some instruction. This is the importance of sound vibration, especially in Kali Yuga. It's this, Yuga Dharma is the sound vibration. So it's carried by the lips of the pure devotee. And so therefore it's emphasized again and again and again, become pure, become pure. So what is the purpose of becoming pure? We're hearing it again and again and we're aspiring. But what is actually the purpose of becoming pure devotee? What? Why do you want to become pure devotee? Everybody's saying, well, we want to become pure devotee. Why? Why do you want to become pure devotee? But why does Prabhupada want us to become pure devotees? One pure devotee said, I'll be satisfied. But anyway, why we want to become is because if you're a pure devotee, then you can carry Krishna. Krishna has come in the form of his holy name, but how is he going to go in every town and village of the world? He has to be taken. How is he? What is his carrier? It's a sound vibration from the lips of a pure devotee. Krishna's seat is there. So that's why we should become pure devotees, so we can convey this sound vibration to every town and village of the world. Otherwise, how the holy name will grow with it? Who's going to take the holy name? How it will go? When Krishna comes into the material world, he doesn't touch the material world. Balaram will expand as the Dhamma. So it's spiritual Dhamma. You expand as the shoes, it expands as an underdev. Wherever Krishna comes, he comes to a pure place. He doesn't go to an impure place. He comes to the womb of Devaki. Not only purified place, but spiritualized, because Balaram, after Devaki's womb was purified, with his the first six children, six children. Then Balaram appeared there, spiritualized the womb. Then Krishna could come. So where, how is Krishna going to manifest himself in every town and village? He has to have a vehicle, he has to have a carrier. So that carrier actually is actually the sound vibration from the pure devotee. That's where Krishna will be. And like this we can take Krishna's holy name in every town and village as well. Therefore we should all become pure devotees to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by expanding his mission every time and every time. This is the attitude, service attitude. It's the only thing that or the service that we're performing is what goes all over the world. Gauranga Nitya Seva Hoy Bikash. Nityananda Prabhu says from this temple service to Gauranga goes all over the world. So service to Krishna is actually the vehicle to express our sentiment, to express our devotion. That's the vehicle. So service itself is not actually the important thing. It's what you're expressing. That's what Krishna wants. Mabhagraha Janadana. He wants your feeling. What is your service attitude? Is it because I want something, I want to take, or I want to give? I want to become a pure devotee. Is it for me? I want all these good devotional qualities. Is it actually for me? Or do I want to give? So it's a service attitude. Mahaprabhu is giving you the service. He's come to give service to himself. Otherwise you can't get service. And he is Radha and Krishna. So he's giving service to Radha and Krishna. Otherwise you can't get it, so he's giving it. How are you going to receive it? You can receive anybody, he's giving freely, so anybody can receive it. But how are you using that service? For me or for the pleasure of Mahaprabhu? So it's this attitude that Gauranga Mahaprabhu sees, it's the service attitude. So that this satisfies the Lord. In the Navadikam Hapmi also, Nityananda Prabhu is explaining to Jiva Goswami. All the devotees of Gauranga, they serve him in Dasaras. That is the way to serve Mahaprabhu, there's no other way. Maybe some Shantaras. Shantaras means no devotion really. So Dasaras, you can serve. But Mahaprabhu has come to give his service in Dasaras. So he gives like that. And then he says when the devotee's devotional sentiment matures, it means he's serving Gauranga, but he's serving Gauranga, but then we have to purify our intentions now. The attitude, our service attitude. So the holy name of the Lord. We have to get the taste for that holy name. So how do you get the taste for the holy name? It's by having a proper service attitude. But as long as we're getting a taste from what I like and dislike in this material world, we'll never get a taste from the holy name. As long as we're still, until we come to that point of making a decision. But what am I going to do about my likes and dislikes, I like, I don't like. When we come to a firm conclusion and make a decision that we're not going to entertain these likes and dislikes anymore and give our full attention to our service attitude, at that time the taste will be revealed, the holy name will reveal the taste. So the service is a means to express our devotional sentiment, and that's what attracts Krishna. So when that service, Nityananda Prabhu says, when that service attitude is mature in Dasaras, it means you're approaching Gauranga for his pleasure, that's all. There's no question of my pleasure. We're doing everything for his pleasure. So when this attitude is there, then Gauranga, Mahaprabhu, the great master, as Das servant, Dasaras means servant and master, he's Mahaprabhu. So when the service attitude becomes mature, then Mahaprabhu, the great master, he reveals himself as Gaushanda. And then he reveals himself, Radha and Krishna, to the Sadaka, who has been serving in Dasaras, Mahaprabhu and Dasaras. But because of the attitude of simply wanting to please Krishna by the service, please the holy name by service, because of that attitude, then Mahaprabhu reveals Radha and Krishna. Then Mahaprabhu is known as Gaushanda. Not that we worship Gauranga as Radha and Krishna, but Mahaprabhu manifests as Radha and Krishna. We worship Radha and Krishna. We also worship Gauranga, of course. But it's not we're worshipping Radha and Krishna in Gauranga, but he actually reveals. So this is the only process actually in Kali Yuga for understanding what is Radha and Krishna, approaching Radha and Krishna. It's through the mercy of serving Gauranga in Dasaras. But then we can purify our sentiment, attention, why we're approaching Gauranga, why we are chanting the holy name, why we want to become Krishna. When everything is dovetailed, it's for Krishna's pleasure, to expand the pleasure of Krishna. Then this is the attitude that we can convey through the service. So the service, we can express this attitude of wanting to please Krishna. Or we can use the service as to express our desire to enjoy devotional, some kinds of devotional life. But anyway, the service has been given by Gauranga, and how we use that service for Krishna or for myself, that depends on the individual. But the whole idea is to develop the favorable service attitude. Then the holy name will reveal, then Krishna will reveal, then the dust of the feet of Krishna will act. So this is all coming through the sound vibration. We're acting on this sound vibration. So it's so important, this sound vibration, as Prabhupada was saying, one should make that his life and soul, that spiritual sound vibration. Beyond the net, above everything else, you should find out the ways and means to execute that sound vibration. So, like this, the mercy is transmitted. And so, here the four Kumaras, they've descended out of their kindness to before Maharaj Prithu. And what are they going to do? They're simply going to speak. So they keep themselves in that pure position for young brahmacharis. But they're all over the universe. They speak into all the great sadhus and saints. Everybody comes. And they're the probably most authority persons in spiritual understanding in the universal arrangement. But they're going to come and they're going to speak. It means they're going to give their mercy through the sound vibrate. They're going to give some instructions, which Prithu Maharaj can take, and anyone can take, and take it seriously, and that will act. Because he's carrying the mercy of from Krishna. Prithu Maharaj ki jai. Chakumara ki jai. Shrina Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you.